Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 3. And tonight, I just want to encourage you in God's Word. You know, there's a lot of people out there today, and they are looking for a number of things. And in our society today in America, one of the number one things that people are looking for is happiness. Okay? There was even a big movie about this a number of years ago, In Pursuit of Happiness, right? And everybody wants to be happy, and they think if they get that Powerball lotto number, you know, whatever it is, I don't know how that works, but one of these days somebody's going to have to explain to me how the lottery works. But they think that if they get that Powerball jackpot, that they're going to be happy. They think that if they just get married, they're going to be happy. They think if they just have kids, they're going to be happy. They think that if they just get a house, they're going to be happy. If they just get a new car or whatever it is, you know, they're pursuing happiness in many different avenues, in many different ways. And they want to find happiness. And some people, when they strike out in other places, they go to alcohol, they go to drugs, they go to all kinds of different things. We want to be entertained regularly because we are seeking to be happy. We also want power. We want to be in control. We want to be able to tell everybody else what to do. We hate that idea of submission. We hate the idea of letting someone else tell us what to do. We are a society of entrepreneurs and self-made people and people who have their own businesses, and we don't want others to tell us what to do, how to do it, or when to do it. Finally, we are a people who want safety. We want to be secure. We don't want other people to invade our borders, and we don't want them to bomb our cities, and we don't want them to shoot at our families. We want safety. And those are really, I think, some of the three major things in the world today that people seek. It's the three major things that I think that people here today want. And so God, as he is explaining what are the benefits of his word and his wisdom, he talks here about those three benefits of God's word. He talks about the joy of wisdom, the power of wisdom, and the safety of wisdom. And I think that if we were to all come together today and make a decision to follow God's word, we would find both joy, power, and safety in our lives. So let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 13, says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom." You can underline that word, happy. Happy is the man. If you're trying to be happy today, you're not going to find happiness with money. I think I have seen people become more happy by being frugal than by being rich. I remember my brother, when he used to go to Nicaragua to visit us, we would play this game, and I would give him a dollar. And he would go into the marketplace, and the game was to see how much stuff he could come out of the marketplace with only a dollar. And I gotta tell you, having all the money to buy everything in the marketplace wouldn't have really done it for him. He wanted to see how frugal he could be and how he could talk everybody down. And I remember this one time, he comes out of the marketplace with this stuffed alligator snake combination. And we're like, "You're never getting that on the plane." He's like, "I don't care about the thing. I just care that I was frugal enough to get it." And there's a lot of times where people think that, you know what, if I could just bypass wisdom and achieve what I'm looking for without having to think about it, I'll be much happier. And there's this wonderful YouTube video. It's about millennials. And I think it's just so hilarious. If you've ever seen the video, it's about a guy singing about millennials and how they think that since they're 30, they should automatically become millionaires. And people in the world today think that they should become millionaires by winning the lottery or getting an inheritance, or the government should give it to them. And I got to tell you, folks, if the government gave you everything that you wanted, if you won the lottery, that will not bring you happiness. Matter of fact, 80% of the people who win the lottery are divorced and broke within a year. 12 months. Hundreds of millions of dollars down the drain, gone within 12 months. You know, if you win the lottery, you become the target of every scam known to man, right? Everybody's going to want to rob you. Everybody's going to want to get your money somehow. They're going to all try to get you to invest with them. You're going to lose it all. If the government paid all of your bills, you know, there's a Twilight Zone about that where this guy, he dies and he's a really bad person. And so he gets to heaven, he thinks, and he was a bank robber. And so he gets to heaven and man, this is awesome. The guy knocks on his door and says, hey, what time you want to rob the bank today? Okay, I guess about 6:30, that'd be good. And so he goes to the refrigerator and it's got all the stuff he wanted. And he goes over to the TV, it's got all the shows he likes. And the guy shows up and says, it's time to rob the bank. And he goes, okay, well, let's go. And he says, how much money do you want to take? And so they walk in, they just take the money out of the bank. And he says, what kind of robbery is this? I thought this was heaven. And he goes, oh, you're in the wrong place, buddy. And actually, it ended up where the guy was so frustrated because there was no point to anything he was doing. It was an interesting episode, I thought. But when you get everything handed to you, life gets boring. You have no purpose. You've not achieved anything. You have no value. Now think about that for a minute. When you hand everything to your kids, when you hand everything to your family, when they work for nothing, when they have to be nothing, when they have to do nothing, when they have to think for nothing, their value goes down. You know why? Because they don't have to do anything. They're not worth much in that sense of being able to produce. But think about this. A child who is taught that he's supposed to work hard to gain wisdom, to study, and to be approved, he finds that there is value in his labor. He finds that he is valuable in what he can achieve. These are good qualities that we want our kids to have. To know hard work, to know what it means to value their money and all of these other things. So someone who is wise, who can take the little that they've been given and increase it, like the man who was given a talent and he doubled his money. Someone who is wise, who learns how to follow God's commandments in order to produce in life. Someone who is able to take a bad lot in life. Maybe you were born into a poor family, or you were born in a poor neighborhood, or you had a disease or a disability when you were born, and you know what? Yeah, you got a raw deal. But to use God's wisdom and to achieve great things is very valuable, isn't it? It shows that person has done so much with themselves, and what it does is it really shows that the person is utilizing wisdom. And when you do those things, you are happy. You say, man, my life is doing so much better. I'm glad that I was able to do that. How many of you have ever accomplished a really hard thing? Anybody? If you're a mom, raise your hands. Okay? You accomplished something very hard, right? But how many of you have ever done something that you didn't think you would ever be able to do? How did you feel afterwards? You felt joy. You felt empowered. You felt, man, that's awesome. I want to do it again. And so what he's saying here is, happy is the man who finds wisdom, who finds that when he applies knowledge in his life, that it does a lot of things. That's what wisdom is, the application of knowledge. And so he says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now notice what he says about wisdom and understanding. Number one, you're going to have to look for it and you're going to have to win it. Gain is something that you win. So I want you to think about that for a minute. If life, according to the author here, life is both a treasure hunt and a race. You are in a treasure hunt. You are seeking wisdom. And it's like a competition. You're looking to gain, to win understanding. And he says the proceeds are better than the profits of silver. So if you play the game, the right game, then the proceeds are better than all of the money that you'll ever have. And her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all of the things you may desire cannot compare with her. So when you have that fleeting happiness that comes with things in the world, if somebody gave you a little bit of money and then you spend it, now you're not happy anymore. You're happy when you got it. You're not happy when it's gone. But when you have wisdom and understanding, it is far more valuable than the things that you would think will ever appease you. And so what the author is saying here is, look, I know that you could probably pick something in your life and say, man, if I only had that car, that house, that spouse, if I only had that money, if I only had that thing, if I only had that stuff, I would be happy. The answer is no, you wouldn't. What truly brings happiness is wisdom. And the wisest thing that you could ever do is know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said it this way, you know what? I have determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that will bring you the greatest joy over anything else in the world. Notice what he goes on to say though, that when you participate in this treasure hunt and this race for wisdom, length of days in verse 16 is in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. So the byproducts of participation are long life and riches and honor. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. How many of you would agree that if you don't smoke, you don't drink excessively, you don't do drugs, and you don't put your body at risk, but you eat healthy and wise, that you'll probably live longer? How many of you would agree with that statement? He says wisdom brings long life. He's not guaranteeing that everybody who is wise is going to be 90 years old when they die, but he's saying that the general rule of thumb is wisdom brings proper living, doesn't it? Wisdom brings proper eating habits, proper sleeping habits. When you're wise, you realize that, you know what, it's not all about work. I need to go home and be with my family. I need to rest sometimes. I need to take care of myself. When you're wise, you realize that you need to apply yourself differently. And so what does he say? He says that wisdom will give you length of days, but it'll also bring you riches and honor. Because when you think about it, wisdom is not about spending a lot of money. Wisdom is about using what money you have correctly. Wisdom isn't about gaining a lot of different women or a lot of different guys in your life, but it is about having a proper relationship with the one that you have in your life. Wisdom is about utilizing what God has given you in a correct way that brings return. And just the general idea is, if you're wise in your finances, you probably won't be broke all the time, huh? If you're wise in your relationships, hopefully not everyone is going to hate you all the time. The idea here is that wisdom will bring you joy because you're working, you're living, you're investing properly. And it will bring you joy. So what he wants you to understand is this. Look at verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now I got to tell you, wisdom is not easy. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I've been driving a Prius for about 7 months now. And you know what I have found about driving a Prius? You cannot drive normally. It doesn't drive the same. On a hybrid car, when you take off, the electric motor is supposed to propel the car forward. But if you press the gas pedal too hard, it turns on the gas engine and it kicks in, and so you're wasting a lot of energy. So I noticed over time, after a few months, that I was only getting 30 miles to the gallon and a Prius, and I thought, that's not right. There's something must be wrong with the car. So I watched a couple videos and I learned how to drive a Prius. And I found out something, that when you first start out in the car, you barely hit the gas pedal and you're gonna be the slowest person on the planet, but you let that electric motor get you going before the gas powered one kicks in. And I've been able to get it up to like 30 miles an hour with only the electric motor, but it takes like 10 minutes. And the cars behind me on the freeway don't really appreciate it. But once you get going, when you're gonna pass somebody, you can't hit the gas pedal really hard. So I had to learn how to barely touch the gas pedal with my lead foot. And then I had to learn how to, so it was a game to me. And I ended up, there's a setting on the dashboard where you can see your gallons per mile and all this other stuff. Well, no, that's my truck. Miles per gallon on the Prius. And so what I was doing is I learned how to be a little bit more frugal with my foot on the gas pedal. And I played this game until I got up to 50 miles a gallon in the Prius. That's 20 miles a gallon better than at the beginning, because I used wisdom. I applied it in the use of what I already had. And I was actually able to go a lot farther, up to 200 miles more per tank of gas, by using a little bit of wisdom. So the idea here is, when you use wisdom, when you apply it, for me, it was fun learning how to do it. Now, I have to admit, I don't drive that way very often, because I actually have to get where I'm going eventually. And so I can't afford to spend 3 hours to go 5 miles in the Prius. And I usually get about 40 miles a gallon now not the 50 that I was doing before. But to me, it was about learning how to use what I already had. And it brought me, well, I felt a great sense of accomplishment to have gotten that. But at the same time, I was able to be more frugal with my gas. I was able to learn how to be a better driver, because you can't really be cutting people off if you're in a Prius trying to get good gas mileage. So I learned how to drive a little bit better. I learned how to, and so all of these things happened to me, but I found one major thing happen. Because I was not getting out of the slow lane on the freeway ever, I was staying there trying to get this car to go as slow as it could so that I could get the better gas mileage. And I was tailing big rigs so that I could use them to break through the wind for me, you know, and get better gas. I was doing all kinds of stuff. But you know what I found after a couple of weeks of doing this? I was happier on the road. You know why? I wasn't focused on what time I was going to get there, but how I was going to get there. I was focused more on my driving than on my destination. I wasn't trying to cut people off to get what I wanted, but I was actually following others and allowing them to lead me so I could get better gas mileage. By using wisdom, I ended up being happier when I got to where I was going. Now, everybody else on the freeway was a little upset with me, and I think their day was a little worse off. But at the same time, when you live a life of wisdom, it brings you joy. It brings you pleasantness. And notice what he says. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. So the issue is not, hey, where can I get some of this wisdom? It's, why don't you just take a hold of it? Why don't you actually grab onto it? You need to look for it, seek it, and use it in your life. So this idea is that wisdom brings joy. But secondly, he says in verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Now there are four statements here talking about the power of wisdom, and they are all four loaded with awesome stuff. We don't have time to go through all of them, but he starts with the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, wouldn't it be awesome to see him do that? He tells you how. He says, I use wisdom. The same thing that God has been begging you to grab hold of, to use in your own life, the same thing that God wants you to follow after and to have, he says, that's all I use to create the heavens and the earth, wisdom. How awesome is that? God says the very same tool that I use to create everything that you can see around you is what I'm offering to give to you today. We always seek power and control over the things in our life, but do you realize that you have more control over the world around you than you imagined? God wants to give you power over your surroundings. And he says, the same power that I use to create the heavens and the earth is what I'm offering you in your life today. Many of you today might be dealing with an addiction. You might be dealing with something that is grabbing a hold of your heart and not letting go. Maybe it's smoking or alcoholism or drugs or pornography and lust. It could be all a covetousness or all kinds of different things that are going on in people's hearts today. But God says, you are not powerless against those things which hold you back in your walk. So many times I've heard people say, Pastor, you know, I just given up. I can't do it. I just realized that there's no way that I'm ever going to overcome this. It's just too much for me. But in reality, it's not too much for you. What God wants you to understand is that you are not powerless over the things in your life that affect you so much. God wants you to know that he has offered you the same power that he used to create the heavens and the earth. And if he was powerful enough with just wisdom to do that, then you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And maybe you're dealing with something in your life today and you've asked God to take it away and it's not happened. You know, don't just say, God, take this away from me and then stop trying. God requires that you use what? Wisdom. God requires that you put forth a little bit of effort. He says, yes, if you want to stop, I'm going to help you do it, but I want you to help too. I want you to confess your sins. I'll be faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, but I want you to start by recognizing your sin and by using wisdom. You know, if I say, God, please get this crab that's pinching my finger, take him off of my hand. Well, that's great, but a little bit of wisdom might say, why don't I pry him off? So many times there are things that are affecting us that don't have to. And we are not powerless to overcome them. God says, I've given you the tools and I've given you everything you need to overcome. And it's called wisdom. Now notice what he says. He says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Now, the second one, he's talking about understanding, and he says through understanding, God established the heavens. Now, think about that, because ask anybody how this works, and they will still not be able to explain it to you. When you look around you on a cloudy day, have you ever noticed how flat they are, the clouds? How they can be really flat, almost like they're sitting on top of something, and they don't move? Why do clouds float? Now, there's ideas, there's theories. I've never heard of one that is actually good enough to convince me why clouds float. Have you ever thought of that, though? You know, we still don't understand gravity. Now, think about that for just a minute. Gravity is the thing that affects everybody equally on this planet, right? One of the few forces that we are all subject to. Everybody is subject to it. Today, my daughter Rachel was over, and I think it was Adrian that asked her, so why do you bounce higher on the moon? And she goes, oh, because of no gravity. And she walks away like, yeah. She understands that what gravity is. We all do. I mean, I'm not going to float away anytime soon. But you know what we don't understand? Why do certain things defy gravity? I know we understand some things, like buoyancy and density, mass. But when you ask them, why is there water in clouds? And I know, I understand condensation and everything else, but I also know that condensation is heavier than air. So what's going on? Now, what does he say? God in understanding established the heavens. I love that. I know that there's an explanation behind it. And I know that God wouldn't mind it if he wouldn't mind if we understood it. People think that science takes away from God for some reason, but it doesn't. You know what science does? Science just reveals God's design and what he's made. That's all it does. And one day we're going to figure out this thing about gravity and about why clouds do what they do. And then it's going to be total Star Trek time where we're going to have spaceships that can defy gravity. And that's going to be awesome. But until that day, you know what? He says God used understanding. Now, this is to establish the heavens. Understanding is interesting because it is being able to look at something and figure it out or to know how it works. God wants you to be able to look at things and to investigate them with your heart and your mind and know how they work and use that to accomplish things. Guys, God doesn't want you to be clueless about women. He wants you to be able to understand and to achieve things by knowing how things work and going from there. And his word is not void. He says, all you have to know is simply this. Husbands, love your wives. That's what she really wants. That's what she really needs. Wives, what does your husband want from you? Respect. He doesn't want you to love him. He wants you to respect him. You can't help but love him because that's what you want. But what he needs is respect. Guys, what does your wife need? Not respect. She needs love. And it's when you start reading God's word and you start to understand the design. You know, today in our society, we are failing to understand the design that God has used to create the world. And what happens? We're breaking everything. Our families, we stopped understanding the design that God had for families. One man and one woman that they would bring together and make children and raise them up. And so we've taken that away. And what have we done? We've broken the family unit, and then we wonder why kids who aren't spending any time with their parents at all are freaking out and they're being rebellious and they're doing all these things. We've broken the design. But if we were to just understand the way that God made us, that God made the earth, that God has done things, we would have so much more power and control over the things that are going on in both our society as well as our own lives. But he goes, by understanding, by his knowledge, the depths were broken up. Now that's a reference to the flood. So the first one is creation. The second one is separation. So God says, wisdom gave me the power to create. Understanding gave me the power to separate and to make things, keep things away. So make things safe and make things appropriate. The third thing gave me the power to judge and to destroy. Now, when he says breaking up the depths, he's talking about when Noah built an ark and the fountains of the deep were opened and the continents were divided and we have this entire thing where the flood happened and everything else. So wisdom gives us the power to both be creative, to be to be people who are able to establish and separate, to be people who can exact justice and do things right, discipline others. And then finally, and clouds drop down the dew. And that's to bless others. He says that God through wisdom blesses others as they are out there. He blesses the world with the dew and the rain. And so he's saying here that you have the power to be creative, to be someone who can make distinction and separate things, to be somebody who can discipline and exact justice, and to be somebody who is a blessing to others. But the only way you're going to have the power to do those things is what? Through wisdom. He closes with this in verse 21 through 26. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. And I love this. The safety of wisdom is so important. What he's talking about here is that when you use wisdom, you're not going to be worried about everybody else. You know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of debate in our society today about who we should let into our country, who should we kick out of our country, what should we do about immigration, what should we do about terrorism, what should we do about all these other things. And do you want to know why America is so afraid today? It is a complete lack of wisdom in our decision-making process. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. As a society, we don't use God's wisdom anymore to make decisions. We use emotions. We use our own political desires. But we fail to use God's wisdom. And so a lot of you are determining who you're going to vote for and how you're going to vote. And there are a lot of people out there who think that it's wrong to do this and it's wrong to do that. But use wisdom. Let me ask you a question. What if you had $1,000 to give away and you announced on the radio you're going to give money away to anybody who comes? Is that wisdom? Probably not. Why? Because you're going to have more people come than you have money to give away. So what would wisdom be? We're going to give away this much money. But in order to be fair, and in order to not run out of money and have a riot on our hands when we can't give it, we're going to allow people one at a time to come in and get some money and then go and do what they're going to do. But we're not going to just let a horde of people here. We're not going to announce it all the time. We're going to be limited in our discretion here. And we're going to provide what we can, not what we want. Because, you know, sometimes I want to give away things that I just don't have. I would love to give you all $1 million. But there's a problem with my desire. You know what it is? I don't have that much money. I don't even have $1 million. So I can't do it. And so many times we're seeing in our society, people aren't using wisdom. We're giving away more money than we even have in our society. And we're watching our national debt. It's just going up and up and up. $100 billion a day. $100 billion a day. The other day it went up $100 billion. Can you imagine that? Now, look, I like to help people. And I also know that if I have the rent money and I see a homeless guy on the side of the road, it would not be wise for me to give my rent money to a homeless guy, and now my family's homeless too. That's not wisdom. That's not appropriate. That's not right. See, one of the problems that happens though in our society is that people are not being wise in their decision-making in both politics and at home. You don't make decisions on whether to get a second job just because of the money. You don't make decisions on whether your wife should go to work or not based on just the money. Because you don't make the decision on whether or not you're going to have kids just on the money. I was just talking to a couple the other day who was so upset because the wife decided she was going to go to work and she had a career and they were going to put off having kids until later on because they were just so expensive. And guess what happened? When she finally got around to saying, I want to have kids now, she couldn't. She couldn't have kids. The time had passed and she was no longer able to have children. She was so upset that her body wasn't playing nice, that she wasn't able to have children. But she made a decision not based on understanding, like your body can't have kids forever. She made the decision based on what? Well, what she wanted at the time. And sometimes what I want and what I should do are not the same, aren't they? I may want a Ferrari, or a Harley Davidson, or whatever it is. I may want a steak right now, but that doesn't always mean I should have that thing, or that I can have that thing, or that I can have it right now. How many of you like steak? Anybody here like steak? How many of you would agree that steak is awesome and it's good to have a lot of? Now, here's the deal. If I ate steak every day for lunch, my doctor's gonna tell me that I'm not using wisdom. You know what he's gonna tell me? Once a month, a couple times a month, once a week maybe, but not once every day, right? That's not a good idea. I need to round it out with something else. It's not wisdom. And one of the things that he's trying to explain to us is that as you act, as you minister, as you try to serve, and as you try to make decisions, don't make decisions on what you want or on what you feel. Don't make decisions based on what you feel like. You know, you may feel like this, you may feel like that, but if you use wisdom, you're not making decisions on right now, you're making decisions on 20 years from now. When you're making decisions in your finances, you shouldn't just be thinking about what can you afford now, but what am I gonna afford when I'm 60? When I'm 70, how many of you are of a retiring age and wish you would have thought more about retirement a long time ago? You see, and how many of you are getting to retirement and you're a little afraid? Anybody? Yeah. Like, I should have thought about this a long time ago. Now that I'm starting to think about it, it's too late. Now, what does he say about wisdom? Notice it one more time. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Talking about wisdom and understanding. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They will be life to your soul and grace to your neck, and then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. And when you lie down, you will not be afraid. So when you use wisdom to make right decisions and to think properly and appropriately about what's going on in life, what happens? Then you're not going to be afraid in the future because you didn't make irrational or emotional decisions. How many of you know somebody who got married because of emotion rather than rationality? Anybody? How did that turn out? Not so well, huh? They didn't think it through. You know, a lot of people think more about the kind of tires they're gonna put on their car than the person that they're gonna marry, right? And the problem is that I'm in love, great. Here's a great way for all of you young ladies out there. When you fall in love, you ready? Listen to the people around you when they talk about the person that you're in love with. If your parents hate this person, if your friends hate this person, if your siblings hate this person and they're telling you it's a bad idea. Now, you might have bad friends, you might have bad family, and then take that into consideration. But if everyone around you is saying this is not a good idea, then maybe you should consider that I'm not thinking rationally here. I need to think a little bit more with understanding and wisdom. Because yes, I love him, but is he going to love you in 10 years? Is he going to love you now? Is he going to do what's right? You know, you might be in love with this person and that's fine, but are they going to work hard to provide for your family? Are they going to be there for you in sickness and in health? Are they going to follow Jesus no matter where he calls? These are the types of things that we're talking about here. When you use wisdom, but when you buy a car, not just because it looks pretty, but because it actually has a track record of being a good company in it, and you buy a car that's not necessarily fast, but reliable, what happens? You're not gonna be worried about getting stuck out in the middle of nowhere when you're driving around. You're gonna know that you're secure. When your decisions are based on wisdom, he says, do not be afraid of sudden terror. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor be of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So if you really want safety, power, and joy, the only place to find it is where? In wisdom. Start using God's word to direct your life and direct your decisions and direct your actions in such a way that as you go forward in Christ, that you're doing things according to his design and what he has called appropriate. And if you do, he says it's going to bring you joy, safety, and power over your life. Isn't that awesome? But if you fail to realize what God has designed and what God is doing, then what will happen is you will bring frustration and irritability. You will bring powerlessness. You will be overcome easily, and you're not going to have safety. You're going to always be afraid of everything. So it's time today that we sought the Lord in wisdom. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this afternoon that you've given us in your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just be our guide, and that as we would read your word, that you would reveal yourself to us in it. And Lord, we thank you that today you have given us so much. We thank you that today you have allowed us, Father, to have your word and to have it so readily accessible. And Lord, that we have so many books on it, and that if anyone here has problems with their finances, they can go get a book on finances. And if anybody has a problem with Father, relationships, they can go get a book on relationships. But we can always turn to your word, Father, and that you've given us both wisdom and understanding, that we would have both joy, power, and safety. And today we would ask that you would just continue to guide us in your wisdom, reveal it to us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.